Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Latin America Review. Camila is still in Brazil. How's it going, Camila? How's Brazil? Hopefully slightly warmer than here in Bolivia. Tonight is the Noche de San Juan, the coldest night of the year here in Bolivia. But how's in Brazil? And could you introduce our very special guest for us as well, please?
Well, it's beautiful in Brazil, as always. Obviously, everyone's talking about the elections, and the elections aren't even until October. But that's what all the hype is all about. I'm here for a meeting of anti-imperialist journalists from all around Nuestra America. And so it's a really exciting time to be here, and people are learning about what the current context is like here in Brazil leading up to the election, where the people hope that ex-president Lula da Silva will be reelected. Today we have a program about Nicaragua. We're really excited to have our guest, who is Laureano Ortega Murillo. He's the presidential advisor for the promotion of investment, trade, and international cooperation. And of course, I'll allow him to correct me if any of that was wrong. Thank you so much for being with us, Laureano, and we'll see you in a bit, Ollie. Well, Laureano, I wanted to start with some news that we saw last night, which is, I believe that you were with the new Chinese ambassador to Nicaragua, who has now just been accredited in the country. Since December, we saw the reestablishment of the relationship between China and Nicaragua and a lot of new joint cooperation. Can you tell us why this decision was made and why it was such a priority by the Sandinista government?
First of all, thank you for having me in your program, Kayla, and it's a pleasure to address you and all of your audience. Well, first off, we have to remember that the relationship between the Sandinista Party and the Chinese Communist Party goes a long way back, since the 80s, since the first stage of the Nicaraguan Revolution, when we actually established diplomatic relations with China. Then, of course, in the 90s, we had governments in Nicaragua that were working under U.S. Instructions, and they basically cut ties with China and went on with Taiwan. And then as soon as we got back into government in 2007, we've been working in cooperation with the Chinese Communist Party in different programs between the Sandinista Party and them, and waiting for the right moment for the relations to be reestablished. And this finally happened last year. It's a priority for our government to work with brother governments of the world, brother countries, brother people of the world that actually work in with joint objectives of social justice, development with social justice, with sustainability, and with respect to each other. And in this respect, with China, we find that we share same objectives, same ideology, of course, to socialism, to communism, that they have been developing with great success in social justice. And basically, we've since the reestablishment of the relations on December, we've been able to work jointly, very efficiently, very quickly, I must say, on different cooperation agreements that we've already signed, some projects that are already going on that are going to be benefiting the Nicaraguan population, such as housing projects in Nicaragua, infrastructure projects in Nicaragua for water and sewage, different education projects, telecommunication projects, and of course, we are promoting trade and investment, which we all know what China represents for the world. So basically, we're talking about a strategic alliance between two governments and two countries that share objectives. And also, it's a reality that we are facing a more aggressive policy from United States and its European allies towards governments that choose to share their own path of development and prosperity. And basically, we have to join hands with progressive movements and progressive governments and governments that work for justice, for a prosperity with equal opportunities for all human beings. And that's why we think it's such a strategic alliance for us to be jointly working with China on these times.
Nicaragua and President Daniel Ortega came out very explicitly right in the beginning against NATO attempts at expansion, and he denounced the way in which this conflict has had effects on our region economically, in terms of trade and otherwise. Can you tell us, explain a bit about the position Nicaragua has taken during these last few months regarding the geopolitical situation?
Well, our president has been very clear in his messages that we support Russia's efforts to defend its sovereignty, to defend its people, to defend its territory, and basically to defend itself against foreign aggressions. We must remember that Nicaragua has had its own share of international intervention and foreign aggression. So we are pretty familiar with what's been happening and what has been going on in plans and in executions of activities against Russian sovereignty and peace. So our president, our government has been emphatic and very clear in our support for these actions that have been undertaken by Russia. And also we have been very emphatic and very clear on the illegality and the wrongfulness of sanctions and the application of these illegal aggressions by the US and its European allies against the other countries of the world that basically just are executing the right to prosperity, to sovereignty, and to develop its own way of development. So the world has been witness to the aggressiveness of U.S. policy and its European allies, and how Ukraine has basically become a puppet of this policy. And we've been also very, very carefully also planning on how to address the different effects that sanctions and illegal aggressions of the US and its allies are having in the world, in the economy of the world. And that's why we are working more closely with Russia. We're working more closely with China. We are promoting more projects with Iran, also with our allies, strategic allies, but also never closing our doors to all the countries in the world. We are even promoting and going ahead with more projects with US companies, with Mexican companies, with companies from all around the world, because that's what Nicaragua does. We are on a country with open arms for all the countries in the world, but of course, we defend justice, we defend the truth, and that's why we believe we are on the right side of history.
Absolutely. And I think this is, you know, goes with the general trend that we're seeing of many countries, including Bolivia, where we're based, who are looking overseas for, you know, different forms of South-South cooperation, and not only, you know, the traditional countries that we've all seen these progressive and socialist governments work with. Can you tell us what are some of the things that that Nicaragua will be doing with the Federation, the Russian Federation? What are some of the areas of cooperation between the two countries?
Well, we've been working for over 10 years now in a strategic program that we are going to be continuing to develop, which has been one of the pillars of Nicaragua's, basically balance in allowing people to have food on their table. So it's a basic strategic program, which is the import of wheat from Russia. So this is something that has been going on for over 10 years. We've been importing basically almost 100% of the wheat that comes to Nicaragua has been coming from the Russian Federation. We must say and also be grateful to Russia, because at the first stage of this program, we got it as a donation, as a cooperation, full-on cooperation from Russia. But there has always been a commitment from our government to turn this into a commercial operation. So we have reached that level now, that point, and we are working closely with them to continue to secure wheat for Nicaragua, for the Nicaraguan people, at competitive prices, and that way we have been able to keep a stability on the price of bread in Nicaragua, something very basic but very strategic, and which actually feeds Nicaraguan people. We are also working with Russia on projects related to public transportation. We got a lot of 250 buses last year from the Russian Federation, and we are waiting, we are working to get 300 additional buses. So this has been also a flagship project in Nicaragua, and one of the flagship projects of our joint cooperation. In 16 years that we had of governments that were working under the US instructions, they never renewed the public transportation system of Nicaragua. So in 14 years of Sandinista government with the Russian Federation cooperation, this is the second time that we are renewing the whole fleet of buses of the country. So you see, there are projects that are going directly to benefit the Nicaraguan population. In addition to this, another flagship project is production of vaccines in Nicaragua. We had the Mechnikov Institute, which is producing vaccines for influenza, and we are working with them for the production of vaccines against COVID. So it's top of the line. It's something that no other country in the Central American region has. And it's also impacted prices of influenza vaccines in the whole Latin America. So it's done a double purpose. It's basically giving us the possibility to provide vaccines for the Nicaraguan population, which is absolutely free in our country. And also it's given us a chance to help lower prices of overall vaccines in Latin America for influenza. So these are some of the projects that we are working on with Russia, but there are also very important projects in terms of security, the drug battle against drug trafficking in the country, which is very important, and projects related also to areas of education, of science and technology, satellite technology usage for agriculture, for mining, for territorial studies. So there's a whole broad spectrum of projects that we're working on with Russia, but all of them aiming to the betterment, the improvement of Nicaraguan population, and also to have greater presence of Russian companies in Nicaragua and from Nicaragua as a platform to the whole Central American market.
Wow, that's incredible. That's a lot of information that I didn't know. I didn't know the depth and the extent of these different cooperation projects. And I also wanted to ask you, because I saw recently in the Nicaraguan media the visit of a high-level delegation from Iran, including, I believe, the oil minister. Can you tell us a bit about what the cooperation looks like with the Islamic Republic?
Well, with Iran, of course, we have also very high-level, excellent political relationship between our countries, our governments, and we are working to transform this also into high-level commercial, economic, and technical and scientific cooperation. We are working on documents to establish a joint commission between our countries. And basically, there are many products that Iran has that we are very interested in. Medicine, they have very good and very competitive pricing of medicines that we could be implementing in Nicaragua, but also distributing to the regional market of Central America through Nicaragua. So we always consider ourselves a platform for these markets. And they have also oil, of course, oil derivatives that are crucial for any country in the world right now. We are seeing the shortages around the world. We are seeing the different complications that have aroused because of the illegal sanctions and aggressions of the United States and its allies. So we are working on a program of supply of these goods from Iran to Nicaragua. Also, they have very good fertilizer, urea, that we are aiming to get from them, and many other products that we are going to be studying and analyzing. And of course, we are aiming at selling them products from Nicaragua, exporting products from Nicaragua to Iran, which is also a goal that we are working on with Russia, with China, of course, with whom we are working on a free trade agreement. So there are many things that we are working on, but basically it's the strategic supply of goods that we are concentrating the first steps.
Laureano, one last question before I hand you over to Ali. And that is, Comandante Daniel was just reelected in November and took office for the newest term in January. Can you tell us what are some of the priorities in this new term, this new phase of the revolution? What does the Sandinista government and people hope to do in this coming period?
Well, we've been quite successful in the past 14 years in terms of reducing poverty, reducing extreme poverty in Nicaragua. There's still a lot to do, of course. There's still a lot of challenges ahead. But we believe that the policies that have been implemented in the past with our government will continue to go on because they have been successful. They are continuing to be successful because they are focused on the people. They are focused on developing, and first off, restituting rights to the people and then developing their own capacities, their own abilities, having them as actors of their own destiny, basically. As you know, in Nicaragua, health and education is totally cost-free. This is something that it's not easy to sustain with a country that has very low, very little financial resources. But we are getting there through a commitment from our government, which commits almost 60% of social of spending to social projects. And also, we are combining this, of course, with continuing to expand the projects that are aimed at strengthening the agricultural sector. This is something that we are aiming very strategically right now at this stage. We must say that even through the times of the pandemic, in which the world economy went into recession almost, well, in Nicaragua, exports actually continued to grow, exports of food. So we saw the strength of this sector of Nicaragua, and there's great opportunity for foreign companies to invest in these sectors. And we are promoting new investments in agricultural capacities, more production, more productivity of the great products that Nicaragua has to offer, and the lot of land that we still have available. But of course, these projects have to be in benefit to the productive capacities of the farmers of Nicaragua and the local companies of Nicaragua. So we are aiming at continuing to develop the social projects that we've been developing, but also to getting more investment from abroad. And we've been doing this quite successfully, even through the illegal sanctions policies of the United States, its allies. We are getting more investment from US companies. We are getting more investment from European companies because they come to Nicaragua, they speak to the government officials, they speak to the people of Nicaragua, they see the reality of what's going on here, and they see that that everything is false news and that they can actually work in Nicaragua because the legal framework is very clear, it's fair, it's open, and it's very beneficial for foreign investment.
We've been speaking to Laureano Ortega Murillo. He is the presidential advisor for the promotion of investment, trade, and international cooperation in Nicaragua. We're handing it over now to Ali.
Well, thanks for that, Camila. Now we're moving on to the culture section, my section. And I think it's always important to have this as part of our show because culture teaches us so much about the history and politics of a country. And I think especially in the case of countries like Nicaragua, Venezuela, that have been targeted by sanctions by the United States, there's always an attempt to sanction the very everything about country, its culture, to discourage tourists, to encourage artists to not perform. And so I think it's important that we bring Nicaragua to life and show the world what a bit about Nicaragua. So, Laureano, the format for this is that I'm going to host an imaginary dinner party of Nicaraguan food, music, and drink. And then you're going to rate it, give it a score out of 10, depending on how good it is or not. So I wanted to start with our imaginary dinner party starters. I wanted to go for a street food starter, which looked absolutely amazing. Vigoron. Laureano, could you explain to us a little bit about what Vigoron is you know, what it represents for Nicaraguans?
Well, Vigoron is a very typical Nicaraguan dish. It's made out of yuca, steamed yuca, chicharron, which is basically pork skin, fried pork skin, and cabbage salad. It's delicious. Its own name means it makes you vigorous, it makes you strong. So it's mostly very famous for being best prepared in Granada, but it's offered basically in all of the Pacific of Nicaragua and Central Pacific. And it's, it's a great dish, great choice.
And this is tied up with sport as well in Nicaragua, is it? Is that it was began to be sold outside baseball stadiums at the baseball matches. So is baseball the number one sport in Nicaragua? What is the what do people play in the streets?
Well, yeah, it's basically still number one sport. If you go to the local stadiums in the different municipalities every weekend that we have the leagues, they're basically full, and people have a great time. So in that regard, it's still number one. Soccer, football is almost there. We must accept that it's a reality around the world. And also boxing. You know, we have great champions of boxing in Nicaragua. We have right now Chocolatito. We have previously the great Alexis Arguello, and we have many champions that have been ranked greatly around the world. But yeah, baseball is still there. We have had many major leaguers, and Nicaragua is still pretty much a baseball country. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. So like Cuba, I guess. In Bolivia, we have zero baseball, very little boxing. But I think in countries like Cuba, Nicaragua, it's much bigger. But moving on to the main dish, is a dish whose history I think I find absolutely fascinating. It's a dish called Indio Viejo, which in English means old Indian, you know, indigenous person. And it's a soup. And the history behind it, and correct me if I'm wrong, Laureano, but this is what I understand, is that the history behind it is that the Spanish, this is a pre-Columbian dish of the indigenous peoples. And when the Spanish invaders came and they saw these people preparing this dish, this soup, they asked what it was. And someone joked, oh, it's an Indio Viejo. It's an old Indian person who, you know, we're cooking them and eating them. It's a joke. And the Spanish invaders were so shocked by this cannibalism that they thought, oh, these must be a fearsome people. So they didn't attack that village and they moved on. And so the people were able to live in peace and enjoy their food. But Laureano, first of all, is that correct, historically speaking? And second of all, what goes into a dish of Indio Viejo?
Well, if it's correct or incorrect, I wouldn't know. I mean, there are many legends, myths around many of these dishes, which are mainly anonymous in their conception. I think it's more of a stew than a soup. It's quite substantial. You can make it out of beef. You can make it out of chicken. People play around with it. When you want to be a bit more health conscious, you make it out of chicken. When you want to go full blast, you make it with beef with a lot of fat in it, which is to me more flavorful and a great tasting dish. I'm just getting mouth watering right now. It's one of my favorites. I like to take it with white rice and maduro frito, basically it's a whole mixture also with the corn and it's tomato, chiltomas, onions, hierbabuena. So it's quite delicious. You have to try it because it's a whole experience.
Absolutely. I can't wait to try that. And so moving on to the drinks, we have to have drinks, obviously. And when we spoke to the Vice Minister of Foreign Relations, we had Flor de Caña, you know, the mighty Flor de Caña. We talked about how when Camila went to Nicaragua, she brought back a few bottles, and we gave one to Evo Morales for his birthday in his party in the Tropical of Cochabamba. He loved it, of course. But obviously, we have to do something different here, something that rum goes into. So I wanted to talk about a drink, a cocktail called Makua that uses rum, I believe white rum. What else goes into this cocktail? How's it prepared? And is it the national cocktail?
Well, it's not that old. It's about 10, 15 years, I believe, since its conception. And it's got I think it's got also a maracuyá in it. It came out as, I think, as an innovation from people that were trying to get a new flow going with the nightlife also in Managua. It's got guayaba, it's got naranja, it's got lemon and I think it's also got cherry or something. So it's quite a new concoction that they came out with for the night scene here in Nicaragua. It's not the traditional that you would, something traditional, I would say, or typical from Nicaragua, but it's become a household name in terms of saying a local cocktail, as you would say, in Managua and some bars and areas of the country, yeah.
Fantastic. And I think a dinner party always has to have a bit of entertainment, perhaps, at the end, music or dance. And Laureano, understand that you've dabbled in a bit of singing. Could you tell us a little bit about that? What sort of music, would you be up for performing that at the end of this dinner party?
Well, I actually am a singer. I trained classical for opera singing. I'm a tenor. We have an opera company here in Managua, and we perform at the National Theater, and it's been growing every year. We started off about 15 years ago. I think we were about 6 members. Now we are rounding 60, 70, 80 between solists and the choir and everything that's pretty much engaged with the company. When we actually do the operas and the recitals, we are about 150 people with the orchestra and the whole production. That's what I'm more focused on, more than I would say entertaining for parties would be something different. But that's what's great about Nicaragua also. You're gonna find surprises here. We have pretty much the most developed opera in the whole Central America, which is something you wouldn't think about finding in Nicaragua. We have been working with theaters from Italy, from Cuba, from Russia, developing this art, but also we have a very good popular mainstream offer of bands and artists that are quite successful in Nicaragua, and they actually do tours in the US and Europe. So I think we can accommodate a few artists for the closing of this dinner party. Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, so I think, so would you say the opera has to be done in its traditional setting and less so in informal settings?
Well, it depends. It depends on who's attending and the people that may be open for this sort of music, which isn't everyone's cup of tea, as you know. But I think once you hear it, you'll like it. So, yeah, we can get someone singing also for this dinner party, and I think some might like it.
Fantastic. And I'd love to ask, in your role, promoting Nicaragua, bringing investments in, I'm sure you've hosted, for foreign investors or officials in Nicaragua and wanted to show them some of, your country's culture. What has been some of the food that has been the biggest hit among foreigners coming to Nicaragua? What has, generated the most excitement in your experience and the people you have hosted and invited?
Well, people go crazy for beef in Nicaragua because it's just delicious. I mean, it's quite tender, it's quite savory.
It's almost fat-free, and it's one of our star products. So I would say beef ranks pretty much up there. And also gallo pinto, which is our most typical everyday dish that we have for breakfast, we have for dinner, we might have it for lunch if we want, which is basically rice and beans. We use red beans in Nicaragua, so it's different from the Cuban version. So I would say, yeah, beef, it's always a very pleasant surprise for our visitors. Of course, rum, it's always a pleasant surprise. And our great rice and beans typical dish.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's, to sum up, let's do the overview of how we're hosting this party. We're starting off with some vigoron, some small portions for everyone as a starter, wrapped in the banana leaves, of course. Then we're going on to a nice hearty Indio Viejo as the main dish. We've got macua, a jug of macua on the table for those who want to be served. And at the end, we're going to have a... we're going to have a little show from Laureano. You know, even though it's in an informal setting, setting without the orchestra, but a little cultural exchange like that. So, Laureano, how would you rate that out of 10? You're in the cab home. You know, I'm not in the room anymore. You have to give me a score out of 10 for the evening for food, drink, and entertainment.
Okay, I'm going to be fair. So I'll give you an 8 because you need to add to the Indio Viejo the white rice and the fried maduro, the fried plantain, ripe plantain. And then you needed to add the dessert. You needed to add the icaco en miel, which is a typical fruit of Nicaragua in its own jam. So it's quite delicious also. So I'll give you an 8 out of 10 for that. You add those, you'll get a 10 out of 10.
Okay, that's noted. Dessert next time as well. absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Laureano, for being with us, for you know, explaining to us the political side of Nicaragua, but also taking us on a tour, a gastronomical cultural tour of your country. And I hope to be able to visit soon, and I'm sure many of our audience members will want to as well after this. So thank you. We have Laureano Ortega Murillo. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.